Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser.
Rise up, O men of God.
Patriarchy after the sandwich.
Hey, Joseph.
Hey, Tony, what's going on, man?
Hey, what time did the man go to the dentist?
What man?
Tooth hurty.
Oh, man. You know, I like to tell dad jokes too.
Yeah, I'm well aware of this.
Sometimes he doesn't get them.
Well, how many tickles does it take to make an octopus laugh?
I don't know.
10 tickles.
10 tickles. All right. No, in all seriousness, I was out on my front porch.
This is not going to be serious.
It's completely serious.
Sure.
Okay, out on my front porch, and my neighbor is, he's an elderly gentleman. I don't know how old he is. He can't walk very well. Was walking across our yard into the neighbor's yard, and he fell into their well. You know why he fell into their well?
No, why?
He can't see that well.
Oh. Okay, that was actually kind of funny. Oh, my. All right. Well, for everybody, since this is our first episode, this is After the Sandwich, off format, where we just tell dad jokes and talk about life. So, speaking of talk about life, we've been on break, man. So, what have you been doing?
Man, I have been actually working pretty hard. The Lord has blessed our church with some good growth. And my wife's getting ready to have a baby any day now.
Mm, yeah.
And so, with number 6 on the way, little Ezra Stonewall Knox Spurgeon's coming soon.
Stonewall Knox? Yeah. What?
Yeah.
How dare you?
You have to have good names.
There you go. All right. Yeah, that's good. That's a good name.
And also been trying to figure out what to do with the dog, man. So here's a true story. Now, this is not a dad joke.
This is true.
It was a joke on a dad. So I told Tony when we first moved into this house, we were like, you know, it'd be nice to thinking about, you know, once we get settled in here and down the road, we'll think about getting a dog. And that was like a Friday. And the dog was at my house on Monday.
This is my fault. This is totally my fault.
And the dog came all the way from, what was it, like Arizona? No,
Arkansas.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
And so how can you say no to a cute little dog? And so there's the dog. And he's not a cute little dog anymore. He's still cute, but he's not little.
Yeah. Neither's mine.
And he's the most expensive free thing I've ever received.
That's what I've said recently, too. He's the most expensive free dog I've ever owned.
And we're kind of at our wits' end with him. This is going to be sacrilege, but I've not been a dog person most of my life. We had cats.
Oh, we just lost like half our members now. Thanks.
Can you put the cat out?
Yeah. Okay. True story, folks. This is like our, what, 5th take for this? This isn't even supposed to be a formatted episode. I think this is like our 5th take because neither of us could get it right. Mostly it was me. But we messed up some dad jokes. But anyway, go ahead. You were a cat person. You were saying how terrible of a human being you were.
No, I'm just saying I grew up with cats. We didn't have a lot of we had one dog and it got hit by a school bus.
Oh.
His name was Lucky.
Dog.
And so anyways, our dog General Lee here is I like him, but I'm not sure it just say he knocks the kids over, and he's just it's very difficult. So, in fact, the reason we had no episode a couple of weeks ago was due to General Lee deciding to chew through my fiber optic cable outside of my house and cut off all internet to my house.
Yeah. Yep.
And man, that was ticked.
He just needed some fiber in his diet.
He got fiber optic in his diet, for real.
Yeah.
So we're not sure what to do with him. We've been thinking, you know, we're about to have this new baby, and it's probably best to rehome him. So yesterday, or the day before, I put on Facebook on a rehoming group in Indiana about our dog and some pictures, and this Mexican woman messaged me saying how, you know, she wanted the dog, take care of the dog with her three kids, and they're older kids. They were in their teens. I think her youngest was like five, but the other two are in the teens. And I asked her, I said, are you sure you can take care of the dog? We want to make sure it has a good home. So she says yes. I said, when can you come? She said, we'll be right there. They're like 10 minutes away. So she comes and picks up the dog yesterday. Kids say their goodbyes. It's kind of sad, though the kids are not really that concerned about it. Actually, my kids aren't, because they didn't like being knocked over by it so much.
I'm sure.
So the dog leaves, and I'm kind of sad about it, right? You know, I like the dog. It's just been difficult for us to take care of it. So I have to take my son somewhere, and we come back, and it's about 9:30. And I just tell my wife, I'm kind of sad about the dog. And as soon as I say that, you know what happens? That woman shows back up out front with the dog.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't want it. You can have it back.
Didn't you point her to the sign in your house that said no returns? All sales
no
are final.
No returns. All sales are final. No, I couldn't leave the dog out in the cold, you know, without, well, he did sleep outside, but I couldn't leave him without a home. So he's still here. And we're still trying to figure out what to do. So, yeah, that's what my summer has looked like.
Yeah, well, I have the other puppy. I'm kind of at fault for these dogs. I was the one who I messaged you that Friday, didn't I? And I'm like, hey, man, you want a dog? And you're like, yeah, let me think about it. And then it was like 2 days later, I think it showed up at your house. But we have Matilda. We finally call her Tilly. And I like her, too. She's a nice dog. She's... friendly, a little too friendly is the problem. She really, really, really likes us, and that's become a problem because she gets off her leash in the yard, and she tries to come back into the house. I was telling you earlier, tell our fans. So my wife was out shopping for something, and I was eating with my kids at the table, and my second youngest was like, just started laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing at, buddy? And he was like, silly dog. And I'm like, what silly dog? Because the dog's supposed to be outside. And he said, there's a silly dog running around out front. And so I turn around and look out the window and I didn't see anything. And I'm like, what do you mean? There's a dog running around out front? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, huh, that's odd. So I was wondering if occasionally we see stray dogs come through. And I turn around and look, and no, that was our dog. It's our dog running down the street. And I'm like, immediately look at my oldest son and was like, tell him to watch the other two boys. And I just bolt out the door and I run out front. I'm looking everywhere in the road. I can't find her. I'm thinking, oh man, now she ran away. She's going to get hit by a car. Like, what's going to happen? And then as I'm turning around, feeling kind of defeated, like, oh man, I'm going to have to go out and drive and find her. I hear whimpering next to the house, and behind a bush near the front of the house, she's hunkered down in there. And as soon as she sees me, runs up to me and is all over me. And so I pick her up and carry her inside, which is getting harder and harder as it goes, cause she's getting bigger and bigger. And, but she didn't have she got off her collar, so I didn't have anything to grab her by. And yeah, that's happened a few times. And, so we sent her to, training school. We sent her to the trainer. The trainer keeps her for like 2 weeks to get a good, like, baseline training. And, she failed training school. Apparently that's not happened before. We were joking about it ahead of time. You watch, our dog's going to fail training school, but yeah, my dog failed training school. So she's apparently coming back. And we're going to try and possibly train her at home. I don't know how it's going to work. But yeah, I get it, man. I like her, and I've had animals my whole life. Some of you have been listening a long time, or maybe some of you know me personally know how many animals I've had and how many weird animals. Like, I grew up with a monkey and a kangaroo and all sorts of other strange things. It's another story for another time, but she's a challenge. I like her, and I've kind of going to keep trying, but yeah, I feel you on that one, but we'll see what it goes. I think she's coming back in a few days, probably, if it still doesn't go well with the trainer, but yeah, so that's all my fault for getting the patriarchy some dogs.
That's okay.
I mean, other than that, I got a truck. I just got a truck. So finally traded in I had a little car it was free, so I can't complain. But I just got a truck. So, that should help around here. We've been wanting to do some gardening and stuff starting next year out back, and bigger gardening. We want to build like a big raised garden type thing and have it fenced in and stuff. So, be nice to be able to just load, like, I got 3 tons of gravel delivered the other day, and I had to pay to have them deliver it. Whereas if I had a truck, I could have just went and picked it up. So hopefully that'll be a blessing and not a curse. We'll see.
Yeah. So I'm actually looking for a truck as well. We went from a minivan to a homeschool bus.
Right. Yeah. You told me.
It's a nice, huge Econoline van. Pretty nice.
Nice.
And, but now I need to get rid of my small minivan and trade it in for a beater, some kind of truck or a car, just something I can drive around.
Yeah.
Not take much gasoline.
Well, so. I would recommend not buying a truck. I'm feeling the difference in miles per gallon from my tiny little drive around the city car that I used to have in Chicago to a truck now. But yeah.
Well, so either a small car that's a beater or a truck that I can use to get haul stuff.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm looking for. So anybody out there, you got one you want to give to me? I'd be glad to take it off your hands. I'll trade you
a dog. No, we'll trade you a dog. We have a nice German Shepherd, right? We could trade him for a truck for you.
2 for 1, man. We'll give there you two go. For one.
Yeah, actually, I'll tell you what. If you give Joseph a vehicle for free, we'll send you 2 shirts of your choice. Okay, so hit us up.
All right.
Hey, moving on. Abe, what did you? I want to ask. What did you preach about this past Sunday?
Good, man. We're preaching through the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. We just finished up the Lord's Supper. Not the Lord's Supper. Excuse me. The Lord's Prayer. And looked at the time of fasting. And one of the things we ended up looking at is we're thinking about in Scripture, the book of Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. Time for weeping, a time for laughing. And obviously there's a time for feasting and a time for fasting. If you want to know actually what the title of my sermon was, you'll like this. Guess what it was?
Yeah, I don't know.
It was Fight, Laugh, Fast.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. So, we were talking about how there's a kind of a time for everything that a Christian can fast, a Christian can feast, and a Christian should have joy through all of it. And then we talked about some of the ditches that a Christian ought to avoid. And I thought it'd be cool to kind of talk about some of them.
Yeah, go for
here.
It.
So, you know, the Christian life, I said, is, again, it's a life filled with joy. And so we ought to avoid these ditches. One of them was called crustianity. And I think we may have talked about crustianity awesome. Before in one of our episodes. But
that's an awesome name.
The idea of a crustiness, a cold-hearted rigidness, a quickness to divide. You know, Christianity is built on truth, and truth itself is rigid, right? It is, it's firm, it's unmovable, and we ought to love truth and not be moved from truth. But that doesn't mean, therefore, that we ought to have cold hearts, that we ought to be rigid towards people.
Right.
Christianity doesn't know a position not worth dividing over, right? The smallest of, right now, everybody's fighting and killing each other over masks. We're not literally killing everybody. Unless you're not wearing a mask, then you're killing everybody, evidently.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what I mean? So there's these constant division and stuff. Christianity.
Yeah, I feel it.
Flip side of that coin is Nicenity. And I don't mean like the Nicene Creed. I mean like nice. Like
right, right.
The Nicenity has in the book of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is niceness, niceness, and niceness. And against niceness, there is no law.
There you go.
And that's the opposite of Christianity, in which there is no truth worth dividing over. And everything is this kind of fake, syrupy sweetness. You know, we know that we're supposed to have joy, so we have a smile on our face all the time. Everything's laughter. It's just, can we all get along all the time? And you have to avoid those two ditches.
Yep.
So another ditch to avoid is Spockianity.
Spockianity?
Yes. So you know who Spock is, right? From Star Trek.
Star Trek, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So very cerebral, logical, no place for emotion. A Spockianity is a completely cerebral Christianity. It never lets the truths of doctrine or theology hit the real world. It's everything so theoretical. There's, you know, people can debate nonstop, like almost like how many angels can dance on the head of a pin.
17.
Kind of. Yeah, there's 17. All right. But everything is in your head and mind, and you love great debates. I've seen people, believe it or not, debate whether there would be traffic laws in the coming post-millennial kingdom.
Really?
Right? I mean, and they were just like fighting over that.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's a different one.
Whereas, and so Christianity to them and to people in this ditch is always theoretical. They know lots of knowledge. They're very book smart, but it never hits the ground. It's never experiential. There's never any living it out in the real world. They might know all the things about Christ and Christianity and about patriarchy, and yet they don't lead their homes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we got to avoid that ditch. On the flip side of that.
Well, I was going to say, that actually reminds me of when I was in, you probably saw this when you were in seminary and stuff too, but when I was in Bible college, that would come out. You know, there would be these, and to back up, I don't think either of us are saying the debate is wrong. It's not. I think healthy debate is a good thing. It makes you think, especially if you're open to hearing what the other person has to say on it too and considering it. But yeah, there were some conversations or debates over things that it was just, yeah, it was crazy. I remember one particular debate on whether or not you could use orange juice and Doritos for the Lord's Supper if you were stranded on an island and that's all you had. And I mean, I walked into it at like 2 a.m. in the morning in one of the lounges at our Bible college. And I'm, you know, it's like, have you ever seen that meme from The Simpsons where Bart's grandfather walks into the bar and then he puts his hat up on the rack and then he turns right back around and puts it back on, just walks out. And it's like, that's basically, I walked in, I looked, I'm listening to it. I grabbed like a Coke out of the fridge and just walked out. Cause I'm like, I'm not doing this, but
that's definitely a 2 a.m. conversation.
I mean, that's what you get at Bible college, you know, which, hey, would I prefer to walk into a conversation over that rather than probably what was going on at every other, you know, college out in Chicago where I was at the time? Yeah, but it still was a bit ridiculous. But yeah, that's what, when you're talking about that debate over the post-millennial kingdom, that's what it reminded me of, was the Doritos and orange juice on a desert island if you have nothing else. And I'm like, who comes up with this?
Yeah. Now, the flip side of that Spockianity, which you kind of already hit at, I'm going to call it emotionality. Mm-hmm. And that is a religion that's so caught up in the experience that it has no room for intellectual rigor, theological debate, and truth. It is all the movement of emotion. And so, you know, you go to the church and you close your eyes really tight when you're singing, you clench your fist, you hold your hands like you're carrying the TV or doing the YMCA. And you're trying to drum up emotions. And so your whole Christian life is about the feelings and emotion, and rather than being built on truth. So theological debate and intellectual rigor and logic and reason all come from Christianity. I mean, those are so important. Mm-hmm. yet, but emotionality doesn't have a place for any of that. It's all about, you know, how it makes you feel.
Mm-hmm. That's a big problem, I think, especially in Western churches right now. I think that is probably one of the primary reasons that if you look like Pew studies and whatever, or Pew Research, whatever the, I can't remember what the website is, the Doses Research, but what they're talking about is that they're saying a lot of the teenagers that once they basically graduate high school, once they're out of high school, out of youth group, high school youth group or whatever, that they just leave the church. They just leave the faith altogether. And I remember having a hard time at first when I went to college from the church I grew up in, because the youth group there was very emotional. I mean, it was, and obviously, I don't think either of us are knocking on emotion. I think that there are times absolutely that are appropriate to, you know, feel the weight of your sin, to appreciate and worship God for what He's done for you. But what we're talking about is, what I'm talking about with this youth group was that everything was about it. It was about the lights and the music and everybody. Yeah, everybody had to put their hands up in the air, or you know, weren't doing it right. And it became like when you went off to go do like a small group, like we had these little small groups and we're actually good, but you go off with like your leader, right? And you had like an adult that was there, one of the dads or something in the group, and you know, four boys or something, we go off and talk. It like lost all of its, you know, the attraction to us, because it was like, well, this is boring. You know, I'm not feeling anything. And then I remember when I went off to college, and I went off to a Bible college too. It wasn't like the youth group. And so I remember for a while kind of struggling, feeling like, do I feel distant from God? And after a while, kind of just realized, well, the reason I think I feel distant from God is because I'm not having this emotional high every single time I go to church or go to worship or anything like that. And then I, over time, slowly got into the point where I really just appreciated just being alone and reading my Bible and praying, and felt closer to God through that than, you know, all of the lights and the smoke machines and the lasers and whatever that I had in youth group. But I think a lot of people, a lot of young people, they leave the church, granted, I know that if they're not a Christian, they leave because of their sin. But what I'm saying is I think that they get a false Christianity because they're like, well, it's all about how I feel. And then they find out when they go out into the real world, like, you're not going to get that all the time. You know, like, you're not going to feel that emotional high when you're at work sitting, you know, somewhere doing your job. And then, or when you have a real job, right? When you get out of high school and you have to go out and actually get like a job and do things for yourself, and life takes over, that they feel distant from God, and then they feel like, well, they start having doubts and stuff. But I think, would you call it emotion? What is it? Emotionality?
Emotionality.
Yeah. I think these are all problems, obviously, but I think that's a big one for young people.
Yeah. And I think we try to manufacture emotions, mm-hmm. and that's kind of like the smoke and the fog machine and the laser lights and stuff.
Or the background music, right?
Yeah, repetitive music. Yes, and yeah. it's to manufacture an emotional experience. A lot of that comes actually from the Second Great Awakening. Charles Finney and others had developed, you know, the anxious bench, and some of the revivalism tactics were to stir emotion. And the truth of Christianity actually is that the truths of Christianity, the doctrines of Christianity, move us. They do give us emotions. It's not manufactured.
Right.
It's built on following Christ and His truths, the Word of God, meditating upon Him and who He is, what He's done for us, the wickedness of our sin. I mean, you see in Scripture that we are to weep.
Yes.
Over our sin, and we mourn our sin, but it's not manufactured.
I think what it should be is there's a difference between being presented with truth. Like, there's a difference between that repetitive background music and the dim lights and the guy talking like this and telling you, just keep your head down and nobody look up, just raise your hand if you want to come to Jesus today. You know, like that. There's a difference between feeling that and reading something in Scripture that just hits you deep to the heart and makes you weep over your sin. It's just plain truth.
and you feel that, that's genuine. The other one, I honestly think it's like an addiction. And I think the reason people leave Christianity or leave the faith or leave the church or whatever for a while or indefinitely is partially because they're having withdrawal. They're having withdrawal from emotionality, and they don't know how to deal with it. And so they go want to find it someplace else because they're not getting it out there. And they're realizing that, you know, I think they do in some part realize that that's not who God is. But then they've gotten so used to it and they're so fixed on it that they're like, well, then I don't want him.
And, you know, one of the things we the difficulties here is because we talked about fasting on Sunday, and fasting is an outward manifestation of an inward emotion. But sometimes the fasting, the outward part comes first. And so, you know what I mean? Like, so fasting really comes from a heart that's broken over its sin or it's mm-hmm. moved to really impress upon God. And so the natural thing, like if you're really in grief, you don't care to eat. So it's kind of natural to fast. Mm-hmm. But sometimes fasting is a Christian duty in which you do the action first in order to express and help your heart express what it needs to express. And so there's a difference between trying to manipulate the externals so that you can force the internals mm-hmm. and actually doing the right duties that involve external things. So the playing of repetitive music, the lights, all that stuff is manipulating, whereas a good, faithful Christian environment may have good aesthetics for beauty's sake, for honoring God.
Sure, yeah.
And all these other things. And those things may contribute to helping to move your heart, but they're not manipulative, and that's not really the main purpose. The purpose then is the glory of God. That's why Jesus says you can wash your face and anoint your hair and fast, which is you don't have to let anybody else know it because you're doing it for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, absolutely. Well,
now let's move on to a couple of the other ditches, and then we're done at my ditches here.
We're stuck in one of them.
Yeah, we're stuck in one of those. Get out of the ditch.
Yeah. Yes.
The next one is outward anity.
Outward anity.
Yes.
I like these names. I like these names. These are fun.
Yeah. So outward anity is a religion. It's concerned with the sins of everyone out there. You know, Hollywood's the problem. Washington, D.C.'s the problem. The Jews are the problem. It's always somebody out there. The homosexuals are the problem. And the problem's always out there. And we never deal with the sins in our own camp. Mm-hmm. If only we can get the civil government to do its job, man, we would be really good, right? Yeah. That would be heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And, men are very susceptible to this one. This is an easy temptation, especially a lot of like the manosphere stuff.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. You got dudes in their basement recording a podcast.
I'm not in my basement.
I'm in my basement.
He's in his basement. I'm in a workshop.
They're talking about
saws behind me. So.
But they're talking about geopolitical stuff involving the whole earth, and they don't even have a job.
Right. Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Not that it's wrong to have a podcast and to talk about geopolitical things, but when that becomes your only focus and everything is so outward, then actually even outward things like the sacraments and all the outward signs and things that we do that God gives us, they actually become part of the focus too. And there's just no internal aspect of religion. Everything is like, baptism. You just get baptized. No matter if you believe or have faith or ever have faith, the baptism did something to you just by the nature of it being water and you being wet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I've seen that too. Yeah.
And, that's what the Roman Catholics believe, that it regenerates you.
Yep.
And it's all outward. Now, true Christianity hits us inwardly, and it impacts the outward. It has the outward impact of all these things being taken care of. But it's just so easy to be caught up in only thinking outwardly,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which moves me to my next ditch, which if you can guess what that is.
Inward anity or something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's a religious so pious that it never gets beyond looking at its own navel.
Nice. That's a good tagline there.
So in this view, there's no room for dealing with politics, economics, culture, areas outside the four walls of the church building. And so the church forgets that it's on mission. And then so things like the sacraments or religious duties like fasting, they don't get done because they're external things that deal with the earth. It's kind of a Gnostic view, right? Everything is hyper-spiritualized and everything's about, you know, did I do my daily devotion rather than what did I do in my life outside of the house?
It's like we talked about previous episodes about checklists. You know, it's like I've checked all the boxes. I'm good.
Yeah, well, but not yeah, that's part of it, but it's also part of like it's all inwardly focused on those check boxes, if you will. It's like
right, yeah, yeah.
Like Christianity is me and my Bible under a tree and that's it. It doesn't advance into the other areas of life. And this, you know, this is a huge problem. Right now in our nation, what we are experiencing with all the politics and everything happening is because churches have not taught their people about these other issues.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hard one right now, too, is I think there are a lot of people really hungering for that. There's because there's so many things going on. And so people want to hear about, you know, what does the Bible have to say about this? What is, you know, historically, how has the churches responded to it, et cetera? And, yeah.
So here's my conclusion about what Christianity is then. To avoid these ditches, Christianity is a joy-filled commitment to truth that's both intimately personal and yet can build a civilization. Mm-hmm. And so it can stand up to intellectual rigor and yet move our hearts to tears and laughter. It is logical and yet beautiful. It's merciful, and yet it doesn't pander. It's firm, and yet it's not brittle. It convicts our sin and makes us engage the sins of the culture. So therefore, it's bold and it's compassionate, and it fits every area of life. And that's really what we want to be about in my church, and I believe that's what our podcast is about, is helping men to have a full-orbed view of Christianity, one that impacts them in their lives as men.
Well, and I think that that's also why the world hates genuine Christianity so much, because they only want one or the other, because it's much easier to deal with one or the other. It's much easier to deal with a man who's just, I don't know, you know, we talk about the manosphere a lot of times, but we talk about sometimes the extreme part of it, you know, where there's men going their own way, or there's the guys that are just, it all has to be, I have to get ripped in the gym, I have to know how to shoot every gun, I have to, you know, chew and spit tobacco, that all that stuff, you know, and drink beer and all that stuff. But what I mean is, I think that the culture is—it's fine. The culture is like, yeah, you can be compassionate and nice as long as you keep it to yourself, or you can be manly, or you know, you can go out and—or not go out, but inwardly if you stay within it. But I think when you put them together, they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with, like you said, a Christianity that's bold yet compassionate, and they hate it because they can't control that. Because you're that's the full brunt of Christianity, not just parts of it put together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's always the temptation to fall in these ditches, and I'm sure there's others that we haven't missed, but I think we have to have joy, and joy is, it's the kind of joy that can both fast and feast. It can fight, it can laugh, it can fast, and it can feast.
It can
do these things, and it can have joy in the middle of persecution, intense sorrow, and yet there's still joy because it's our joy is found in the Lord and not all these other things. And because of that, a joy-filled man who is sold out for Christ, that impacts his life everywhere he goes, and the world will hate it, but the world cannot defeat it.
Mm-hmm. The world can't take it. Well, hey, let's talk about real quick. Let's talk about this coming season of the patriarchy. So we will have our normal episodes will be coming out soon. This is something for members only, although this episode will be released to the public. This first one to kind of give you an idea of what we're going to do. And we're going to add to it and talk about other things that are not on the normal episodes. But What we wanted to do this season, and this was Joseph's idea, and I think it was a good idea, is we wanted to talk about biblical virtues, and we wanted to do an episode on a different biblical virtue and kind of talk about that. And I think you wanted to do it because I honestly think right now it's an important time to do it. I think that this is a time when so many things are chaotic and thrown into anarchy around the country, in pretty much like every realm, that I think it's important for us to as men to focus on these virtues and what God, how God tells us to be, even amidst things that are just insane right now or crazy.
Yeah. So what we're doing is, you know, in church history, there have been about seven virtues that people have looked at. These are characteristics of a godly Christian and really of a godly man. They're virtues like prudence, courage, faith, hope, love, or charity. And what we want to do then is take an episode for our normal patriarchy episodes, which is we're going to do a season based on this. Mm-hmm. And each episode will cover one of these virtues. We'll have a good guest with them. And I think it'll be helpful. We'll be able to dive down deep into the internals and the externals of these virtues. We're trying to avoid these ditches. And I think it's important that we be the kind of men who know what to do and can do what we ought to do no matter the circumstances.
Yeah, it kind of continues our themes of training, I guess, kind of. I mean, we've had a lot of episodes on different aspects of manhood and things to work on or things to learn how to do. But I think this is going to be good. I'm actually really excited for this season. I think it's going to be really good. And I think this is very focused, and hopefully we'll have some good examples of things that men can do or try or how to work on these things and our guests and stuff that we got lined up. We got some cool guests that we're trying to get lined up here. But yeah, so we're going to actually, going forward, that's one thing we've decided on. We're actually going to do seasons, and then we're going to take some time off in between the seasons. It's not going to be as much as we did this time. This time was just kind of some craziness and figuring things out. But we wanted to give ourselves a little break in between so we can then figure out what we're going to do for the next season, line up guests, maybe do some funny segments, which we're going to do some of those too. But I'm also working behind the scenes on a lot of other things. I guess we can go on to this next part here that as we're closing. I just wanted to make sure that people, if you haven't seen, we do have a lot of merchandise that we just put out on confessionalware.com. And this isn't just a shameless plug, although I'm the master of shameless plugs, as Matt Williams from How to Build a Tent can attest. But we have quite a few shirts. We have two women's shirts now. We have a couple coffee mugs and I think five or six other shirts. And I have more designs. We're going to get more of them out there. This is a way for us to make a little bit of extra money to kind of put either back into our families or back into the show, and to kind of keep building things. Also, it's just something fun for you guys. We're going to try and have some shirts that are good balances. We have some shirts that are just like funny. We have other shirts that are directly from the show. Like we have a Feminism Ruins Everything shirt, and we have another one that on the back it says, "Suck it up, buttercup, be a man." But then we have other ones that I'm just going to try to just do kind of like normal designs, ones that are a little less funny or something on it. There's going to be some with verses on it. There's a few that I hope are going to be really good conversation starters for other men. Actually, our main logo shirt, I've changed that one on the back. It has Ephesians on it. What I did is I replaced in the verse where it talks about, you know, where all of fatherhood comes from the father. I replaced the words father and fatherhood or family with the Greek words, and I put it on the shirt. And I'm hoping that, you know, if you're wearing that shirt, that maybe another man will read it and they're Christian and they'll be like, hey, what does that say? And maybe they'll go look it up and try and figure it out, and then they'll kind of realize like, huh, patriarchy is actually biblical. You know, maybe they'll talk to you about it, and or maybe they'll listen to the show. Maybe they'll change the way they do things with their family. And so anyway, yeah, you can go to confessionalware.com. I believe it's under podcast collaborations, and you can click on our show, buy some merchandise there. I'm trying to do some trucker hats. I know a lot of people have been really bugging me for that. I just have to get the logos right, and there's going to be some stitching things that have to get done ahead of time. Yes, for all of you that want stickers, my goodness, you children.
You just keep bugging me for stickers of all things. Yes, we will get stickers and we'll put those out probably on confessional wear also. My goodness, I announced like 6 new shirts and everybody was like, but stickers. And I'm like, we should have just put out Patriarchy Happy Meals and you guys would have been content with that.
It comes with a sandwich.
Right? Yeah, it comes with a little, little plastic sandwich or something and a sticker. But yes, we will get stickers out.
Don't give them ideas.
Yeah, oh, I know. Oh, gosh. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I do have, I'm working on a prototype for a dumpster fire candle holder. Like if you have, if you're listening to this or watching this, or actually if you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube, the background, that is what I'm talking about. The feminism dumpster fire loop that we always have going. A lot of people have asked about that. Trying to get die cast things that'll match that we can actually put a candle in or something like that. There's other things I'm working on where I'm going to continue slowly working on the website. We have it. It's just the stuff behind the scenes. Cause we want to put out, articles and stuff. We want to not just Joseph and I, but we want to have other people like guest write for it, or post articles they've already done onto our site. We want to have a really good, source of information, even just articles on things like, you know, we had Derek Evans on from Sanctified Soil and about gardening. I mean, it'd be great to have maybe an article from him on how to like start your first garden or something like that. We really want to beef up the show and be a really good source for you know, Christian men to learn how to be better men. I mean, we're all doing that. I mean, you and I learn constantly from the people we have on. So we want to keep making that better. And then the last thing I'm working on, we'll see how this goes. If something you'd be interested in, shoot us a message or an email, contact at thepatriarchypodcast.com if you want to email us. I'm actually going to try and work on soap. I know this sounds really crazy. And no, I don't mean soap for the sake of coronavirus. I mean, like, I was having this, I had dry skin. It's just the area we live in. And so I tried a different soap. I tried handmade soap from this other company. And it was a world of difference. I've learned all about how you make soap now, like bar soap, and it's crazy. Like the not that this is unbelievable, but the big companies that make your bar soap at the store, basically, when you make soap, the byproduct of it is glycerin, and that's what actually helps moisturize your skin and helps make the soap smooth. Okay, well, glycerin, it's an expensive thing. You can sell it. So the big companies tend to pull that off the top of it and they sell it off and they use just a little bit in your soap, but then they overprice your soap. Anyway, so I tried another one where they leave it all in, it's handmade, and there's different scents and stuff that are much more manly than like the weird stuff that you buy at the store that's so gross. And I've really liked it, so I've been looking into either making it or having it produced in a particular scent or something that's, you know, has like, smells more like a man and less like a woman. And I was thinking of actually making that available as well. What? You laughed, man. Just, you know what I mean, man? The soap you buy at the store, it smells fruity. Like, I don't like it.
I know. I was just, it smells like a man. I was like, it smells like B.O.
Smells like B.O. See, there you go. That's like, what scents do you want? We want manly scents, like B.O. And
car mechanic.
And car mechanic. That's the brand. Grease. We'll just have one smells like grease. And yeah. One for coal miners and smells like coal. Yeah. Well, you know what I mean? Like more manly scents. But yeah, that's pretty funny. Actually, that'd be kind of funny to have a scent like that. It's coal. But so I'm actually going to work on that. I'm going to work on a company to work with through that to kind of sell that stuff. Again, all of this stuff is not the point of the show. And it's not, we're not doing it just because we just like want to make money, but we do want to do this more often. So even doing this particular one is, you know, after the sandwich is something to try to have more people become members, not just for us. Cause really your membership is worth it. I mean, there's some really cool stuff. If you're a member, and already listening to this, you know that there's some really neat stuff behind the scenes. But it also does go to support our network and there's just more things happening behind the scenes on that all the time. You know, all the guys at CrossPolitik are always working really hard to try and build this network up more, to try and get things on TV, to just really build it out. And so we want that to continue happening. We want our show to continue to grow.
I would like to, and this has kind of been a thing that you and I have talked about, I would love to be able to do this full time. And I don't just mean just make episodes. I mean like the whole thing, like as a brand, as a company, if you will. I'd like to be able to make more episodes. I'd like for us to do more, start doing articles, to write more articles, to just have more resources available. But maintaining all that and creating all that and working with other people and companies to partner with us on things, it takes time, it takes money. And so I can't do that full time right now, but I really, really would love to do that. So all of these things I'm talking about helping us financially, that's what is going towards to make this a better show and to make it continue on. So if you're interested, you know, check out some of our merchandise, hit us up in an email if you've got ideas about some other things, or maybe you're a Christian company and you want to partner with us, you want to advertise with us. If you want Polly the Transparent to do an ad for you, as he's done for Confessional Wear, we can do that for you and we can work on that. But we would love to work with other Christian companies too. It's not just about us. It's about all of you. And so that's kind of where we're headed. So I kind of wanted to give you guys an update on that. And if you are listening to this, because this is available to the public, you know, like, what are you talking about with the membership? We are on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. There's a lot of other shows on this network and you should go listen to them. But you can become a member and support our show, support the network, and you also get access to behind-the-scenes material. Depending on the level you sign up to, you can get coffee and shirts and other things. But if you want to do that, you have to sign up to become a Fight Laugh Feast member. Go to fightlaughfeast.com, click sign up to become a member. And when you do, if you want to support our show, use the code PATRIARCHY to sign up. It's the code PATRIARCHY, just like the show. And that actually goes to, we get a little bit of that money to help support our show too. So if you're interested, please do that. We'd really appreciate it. And we do see them coming through. And thank you to those of you that have recently signed up. Even when we were on hiatus, that was really cool. And hopefully you're enjoying this and you'll enjoy the episodes coming out soon. But I think that's about it for this episode. You got anything else you want to add before we sign off?
No, I just think this should be good. If you've enjoyed this Behind the Sandwich thing, we're going to try to release that on the membership. And we just ask you to be in prayer. Pray for my wife. We're about to have a baby. So we'll be getting that new season out soon.
Yep.
But
we will.
Hopefully also get this new baby out. Man, excited to see.
I'm sure your wife is excited about that too. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, hey, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. If you guys are coming to the Fight Laugh Feast conference, I will be there. Joseph's not because he doesn't have a baby coming out soon, but his wife does, so he kind of needs to be there to catch it. And yeah, but I'll be down there, and I'll have one of my friends with me as well. If you want to meet, just come on up. I can talk to you about whatever. I'm really excited, actually, to meet you guys. In person. I know a lot of you have actually messaged me. So yeah, if you guys come to the Fight Laugh Feast conference, I will see you there. I'll be there all 3 days. So until next time, make me a sandwich.